want us to get real. And I want us to get real in life. Now, God saw everything before anything was. Okay, you got to, if you can, halfway picture that. God saw everything before anything was. Well, in Scripture, we also have learned that God says, I knew you before you were ever conceived. So to be in the mind of God, that's why we're here today, folks. That's why you're walking around breathing. God had you in mind, a specific individual. No one like you, never will be. There's not even anyone that could come close to being like you ever in history, past or future. That's how unique each individual is. We are individuals created in the image of God. Now, when God then created the human race, when he did that, he said, "This." Let's go to the what we would call the Old Testament, okay, it's what we do call, and the New Testament. That's what I need to focus on today. God said, let it be, and God called the prophets of old. And God had the prophets of old to focus on the external, which is the law of Moses. You will look through the Old Testament and you see all the laws that God had shared with Moses and then the prophets, and we'll see where the prophets then were called by God, his warners, warnings. Said, God says, look, I want you to understand something. You're my watchman, and you are the watchman, Old Testament, listen to me. You are the watchman of that which is external, the law. Ezekiel was a walker, was the watchman of the law of God. And God said, I want you to pay attention now, Ezekiel, because I want you to understand how important your ministry is going to be. Ezekiel 3, verse 17. Son of man. So you remember anybody in the New Testament that was classified as a son of man? Was it not Jesus? Huh? Okay. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word that I speak and give them warning from me. Ezekiel, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go forth. I want you to be a person that's going to warn you. You go forth. You go do it. And I want you to do it for me. That's what a prophet was. The prophet was doing it for God, repeating God's commands. Not the prophet's command or what he thought. God said, I want you to go for me. And as Ezekiel went, as being the watcher of God's law, and he comes to God's children, the Israelites, and he keeps warning and warning and warning and warning. But many times, the prophets, and could very well be those that you don't know much, we don't know much about, but they became so overwhelmed by the warning and when what it took to do that from within them, they would back away. Listen to what God says, Ezekiel 3:18. When I said to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from the evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin. And I, this is God saying, to Ezekiel, I will hold you accountable for their blood. That's the law. Ezekiel, I've classified you as my prophet. I want you to tell them what the law is. Now we understand that the reason God had set all of this up was to let the human race know that they could not keep the law, which is external. And God says, okay, here's what the external law, external prophets, here's what you're going to say. So what would happen? People would fall in line. I call it a religious foe, where you fall in and you have tradition, and you know, I'm not against tradition, but you have tradition, and this is the way we've always done it. You ever heard that one? Why, this is how we've always done it. Well, obviously, how we've always done it here or anywhere else in our generation isn't well enough. Because look at the mess we're in. The mess that we are in is a mess that the church needs to stand up and speak out about. That mess is, folks, family life. The mess is, folks, it starts at home. Don't you dare blame it on a teacher. Don't you dare blame it on a preacher. Don't you dare blame it on a world because they tricked my child. Because you might find out one day that it was your child tricking them. So God says, I want you to get real. And not only that, Ezekiel, I want you to understand something. If you don't, I will require their blood at your hands. As time went on, Jesus came. Hear me well. Everything was planned before anything was. What we see of the Old Testament, of the day of the prophets, they're gone. You hear me? They're gone. Because God spoke to man as a prophet to speak to God's children. You catching it? But one has come, every prophet of Scripture, starting in Genesis, points to the day when the Son of God will come, to the day when there would be a sacrifice, and that sacrifice would be sent from God. And no man, no woman, at that point would ever have to question, because God says, I will reveal myself to you. The closest thing to a prophet in our day and time are Christians. Folks, to go spread the word. Well, now what must I do? I tell you what, if we start acting more Christ-like than world-like, someone will notice there's a difference in us, and they will see hope for their life. It's not what you tell somebody you're going to do. It's what you do or don't do. And what I can't do is save people. I can't tell people this is what you need to do. Why not? I'm not an Old Testament prophet. I am a watchman for Christ, and I am a watchman for the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is internal. You got it? Old Testament, external. Law, 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 law. Couldn't do it. Now we get to the real heartbeat of a message. Listen to this in Romans 10:4. Christ is the end of the law. So why does everybody else keep going back to the law? Gosh, folks, study the Word of God the way God had given it to us for study. Understand the history, the Judeo-Christian focus. Understand where we came from instead of going back to where we were. Jesus Christ ushered in the beginning of the end of the age. The end of the church age, whom only Christ knows. That's when everybody talks about the rapture and the shouting. When Jesus comes again. You know what the problem with the world and the religious leaders were back when Jesus came? The prophet said he was coming. Nobody believed him. They doubted. Do you believe that their doubt had anything to do with slowing down Jesus from coming? Do you think that evil can stop that which is good? Do we think that the power of the human mind or the human being can change what God has set in place? Christ is the end of the law. Here's why. So that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Our Savior came. Our Savior watched the human race. Oh, he had the best seat. And we can even see in the Old Testament stories many times Jesus coming down before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Woo, I get excited over those. Jesus said, I'm watching because a better day's coming. And that better day that's coming is the day that I get there in a human form. 100% God, 100% man, and Jesus Christ was born for one purpose, to die on that cross for you, for me. He said, you can't keep the law, but the law from me, says Jesus, is you will believe, when you believe in me, it is through my righteousness. When you say, I believe, you become my child. You're my family member. Because you see, you can't keep a law. Any of you ever try to keep from speeding going down any of these highways? Now you really got your heart right. Some of you don't have your heart right. 80 mile an hour out here, your heart's not right. That's the law. Jesus says, I'm coming that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Righteousness. Jesus is righteousness. Romans 3, first part of 25. God presented him, Jesus, as a sacrifice of atonement. A picture of atonement. Break it down. At one mint. You got it? At one mint. Atonement. We're at one with Christ. When I said, I believe, Jesus says, we're together on this one, Larry. And then my whole life is spent learning. You know the hardest lesson you and I have to learn? Trust. We've trusted too many human beings and watched that trust betrayed time and time again. Right? Time and time again. Jesus has never betrayed me. I betrayed him several times. More than I know, I'm sure. But he never betrayed me. When you'd ask Jesus, do you know Larry Vance? Jesus going to say yes. Well, let me tell you more about Larry P. Vance. And Jesus will say, you don't know any more than I know. Think of that. Jesus died for me, the unlovable. I accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. It might not have made me more lovable to you all, but it did to Jesus. Think of that. Romans 1, 17. And when you're looking at the scriptures, New Testament, these are from the Old Testament prophet. This is Jesus quoting the old scriptures, all focusing on him coming. And he's saying, it's me, I'm here. And because I am here, I want you to know something. The world does not have the power over you. enemy does not have authority over you because you are now part of my family. But you saw Megan this morning being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Dying with him on that cross, being buried with him in the tomb, to rise to walk in the newness of life forever. How do I know that? It's in the promise. Started before time began. Jesus said, okay, man, human race, gonna let you begin it, but I'm ending it. Isn't it great? Have you ever been in such conflict or battles time and time again in your life that you needed somebody to ride in with a white hat and a white horse? And I doubt that you all have ever watched the Western, have you? Most. That was the good guy coming into town. Interesting, though. Did you know that our Lord will be dressed as bright as light? No, not white. As bright as light. Brilliant. And he says, don't worry. Tell them, Larry. They don't have to worry about that battle because I've already taken care of it. They don't have to worry about, did I do this? Did I break that law? I've already taken care of it. You cannot do anything that'll make God love you more. And you cannot be so bad that he would love us less. Folks, it's in who his Son is within us. Well, did you understand that, preacher? No, I don't understand it. I don't understand why anyone would love me. Period. But there's even a few people who do. But God says, I'm going to love you so much. Let me show you what I'll give. I'll give my Son. My Son's going to walk to Golgotha, carrying your cross, Larry. As he's dragging that cross, and from the human weight, we understood and we witnessed, as the scripture tells us, that Jesus went down. The weight of that cross was too much for one human being to handle. A human could not do it. Jesus was 100% human, 100% man. So that additional power, where'd it come from? A believer standing by the wayside. It was a lesson for you and me. Oh, how could that be with Jesus being God? How would he stumble? Folks, everything you read in the scripture, in the word of God, is for our training. It is for the truth about who Jesus is within us. And God said, I know you're weak. I know just your cross alone can burden you down. So I'm going to send other parts of my body, the church. That's what we are. One person cannot make up a church. You hear me? The church is made up of a multiplicity of personalities. Good, bad, and ugly. And God says, I'll use each one. I always tell you all the biggest grouches in the church become some of my greatest friends. I love grouches. They can relate to so many people, especially me. But do you know that Jesus Christ never got up on the wrong side of the bed? I guess we still understand what that means, right? I'm getting so old, it's hard for me to figure out anymore. But God says, my Son's going to love you. But Lord, what about, look at me, I'm a mess. And he said, yes, sir, I'm sending my Son. And one day, when you step out of that body, you are a spirit with a body. You are not a body with a spirit. You will continue to exist without this body. And the Lord says, this is called the judgment seat of Christ. And everybody said, oh no, no, what am I going to do at the judgment seat of Christ? You're going to stand there. You know what Jesus said he'd do? To all who have confessed and professed my name, all the bad in your life I shall cast to the flame, and I shall take you, and he's going to polish us. Gosh, some of us need a lot more polishing, I'm sure. And I'm going to present you to my Father. You know why I know I'm going to do that, Larry? My Father said that he would let whosoever believes in me be a part of the family. And when you said yes, your family. The churches today have our families, but we've become dysfunctional through pettiness, bitterness. You going to change anything with any of that? God said, but I love you just the same. I love you, Larry, when you're weak. I can use you a lot more when you're weak. I love you, Larry, when you've had a bad case of the stupids. I still love you, your family. So therefore, I want you to focus as my watchman. And you're going to see in a minute as his watchwomen. I want you to understand, he said, what's going to change when I come. Now you and I, our hope is in who Jesus is. The righteousness that Christ is going to present to his Father is the righteousness of him inside us. He said, debt's paid. A Christian cannot go before the great white throne judgment at the end of the age. Impossible. That's the judgment of the second death. And those who were at that judgment were cast to the lake of fire. Preacher, you really believe hell is real? Yeah. And I also know that Jesus spoke 10 times more about hell than he did heaven. But every time he spoke about it, he said, you don't have to go there. You know, I look for those who have the cure. Many doctors want to practice on us. I want to find one that's smart enough that doesn't have to practice anymore. Jesus. Larry, I don't need any practice. I know you. And Larry, I knew you before time existed. I cannot wrap my mind around that. But let me tell you something, folks. When you get to the point in your life where you think you're so pious or religious, you know, I walk so close to the Lord, let me tell you this. I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a preacher, a pastor. And the Lord does not love me any more than he loves the person out there he knows is going to be saved and yet hasn't been yet. Because our calling from God is a personal calling from God. But we need each other, every part of our body. What about our wounded warriors? You see them? Our hurting heroes. Men and women. Broken. And then you turn around and you see them out there with the prosthetics. Some with them, some without them. And you're thinking, how do they do that? Because I have my body intact. I can't do that. That's the focus of a Christian. When you realize you can't do that, and you turn it over to the only hope we have. Larry, I want you to go to preach. I can't do that, Lord. People scare me. Lord, have you ever stood in a pulpit and looked at the congregation? That's spooky. The Lord lets us all know. That's good. I don't want you to do it. I want you to let me. But that's what he calls each one of us to do. Let me. When there's something that needs to be done at a church, take care of it. Oh, you know, I have the ability to do this. Then do it. Reach out. Help. Love. And as God would say through the Old Testament prophets, quit whining and quit griping. Stand up for Jesus Christ. You stand up for the morals that he has placed in the heart of families. And don't you worry about the world. They're in a mess. Oh, but Brother Larry, listen, have you ever been out listening to them curse? I'd go to the world to hear it. Have you ever understood? Look at them blaspheme God. And I say, that's the least of their problems. They don't know Jesus. They're going to hell. But what you're worried about them for is the least of their problems. Maybe your actions cause them to use the language. Let's accept our responsibility. But we are those watchmen that we're watching the church for each other. We protect one another. Don't you dare start gossiping in this church. You got a problem with somebody, you go to that individual. Don't you fall into all of that rut. That's why church after church after church is failing. Yesterday, I received a paper from the Southern Baptist Mission Field. I didn't know this. And big letters. 900 Southern Baptist churches are closing each year. 900 are shutting the door. Where are they going? Many go back to the world. Many want to get lost in a huge church where nobody recognizes them, nobody knows what's going on. And then a lot of the problems are in us pastors. I don't have a right to back off of God's word. If I'm going to preach his word, I need to preach his word the way he has written it and laid it out in our hearts. Not how I think he should have. What can you imagine today if we brought the Ten Commandments to be voted on in a church? How many of them you think as to whether to follow them or not? How many of them you think would even survive it? All right, I'm against the sin you have. But my favorite sin, you'd leave it alone. I'm doing just fine, thank you. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. Now listen. To Habakkuk, this is a quote from Paul in the New Testament, but he's quoting Habakkuk. For in the gospel, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. That again, that's what you saw with Megan this morning. Death, burial, resurrection, that's the gospel. In the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith. Listen to me. From first to last. It doesn't go back to works. By faith. From first to last. Just as it is written. Where? In Habakkuk. By the Old Testament prophets. Who said. It's going to happen. One time. When Christ comes. The Savior. The Messiah. The righteous will live by faith. And Jesus said, I'm here. And his disciples said, he's here. And the world says, where'd he go? And a Christian should stand and say, he didn't go anywhere. He's still here. He's still here. He's still here. He's still here. That's the word of God. God said, I'll send my son. He'll never forsake you or leave you. Now, Acts 2, verse 17 through 18. This is actually quoted out of the Old Testament book of Joel, the prophet. You ready for this one? This, everything was pointing to the change, for the law, Christ is the end of the law, where it's all changed. And then he says, in these last days, remember what I said? Jesus Christ, when he was born, ushered in the beginning of the last days. That started 2,000 years ago. In the last days, God says, well, don't you think we ought to pay attention when God says it? And when Jesus stands, people say, well, you know, I get confused on the Bible. Okay, then stick to the letters in red. You got to remember something. The disciples and all dealt with the local customs of the era. They had to deal with the local authorities of that period. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Now, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Jesus is the prophet. He is within us. He said, I'm pouring my Spirit now into each individual. You don't need a man to tell you anything or a woman to tell you anything. Listen to my voice. We said that that's exactly what we would love to find. You found him in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, God Almighty. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Listen again. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Really? Well, I don't know what you're talking about. They ain't going to do it in the Baptist church. Really? Then how come we believe the Bible, but we only want to believe certain parts of it? If I believe that Christ has come, and you believe that Christ has come, and through his righteousness we are saved, and we believe all the other things that Jesus tells us, why then do we reject the change? Don't you remember when Christ came, the religious era at that time said he's not the Messiah? That didn't change him being the Messiah. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, listen to what he's saying. Anybody, everybody. Both men and women. I will pour out my Spirit in those days and they will prophesy. Well, that's not the way I was taught. You know, I remember one time asking my mother, why didn't you ever tell me about what I'm learning now? Why didn't I know the stories after I start reading the scripture? And she said, son, I didn't know what to tell you. That's the same mother that I remember going to one time after my call to preach. She said, what's wrong, son? I said, well, Mom, I'd only preached two or three sermons. I said, I've ran out of sermons, and I don't know what to do. She said, turn the page. Turn the page. Okay, good idea. And I've been turning the page ever since. You don't run out of the Word of God. We run out on God to keep from teaching and preaching his word, because what we preach is not accepted by the world. But woe is me if I don't preach it. Folks, there's nobody that knows more than I do about being grounded and stood in a corner by God. Knowingly, that'll never happen to me again. I'd rather all ISIS come at me. It'll never happen again. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us, the unlovable. Oh, Lord, we don't understand why you even do. But we do know, Father, that in your word and your promise that each of us have your hope. Touch us now, Father. with your Spirit, with your power. Direct us, dear Lord God, through your word and your truth. Oh, Father, we lift this nation to you, but mainly we lift our families to you. We realize, Father, that when our families are straightened out, everything else will fall into place. We ask now for your blessing, Father, upon each one of your children and those who are seeking to be your children. Protect them, Father. Encourage them to make decisions for you and for your church. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.